Hello all and welcome to this episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. The IPL is in full swing. I'm your host Srini Patsadi and I'm joined by my co-host Venkat. Hello Venkat, how are you?
Hi Srini, I'm doing very well, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, good. It's been a long break, the Easter weekend over here for us in UK. The sun's been shining, so it's been nice to have a good break.
Yep, it is. We had our first season start match, so it was good and interesting. You know, feels the body's, you know, aching in different places, having come out of the woodwork, but it's all good. The temperature, you know, weather was fantastic. You can't beat an English summer.
Yeah, definitely. You can't beat an English summer with the sound of the willows, they say, you know, playing on the village greens. Yeah, looking forward to the cricket season. I mean, internationally, the IPL is happening thick and fast. In, well, talking about England, obviously Joe Root resigned from the English captaincy. There's been changes. I know, like, we'll talk about Rob Key in a minute, you know, in terms of his being appointed as an MD of an English cricket. But when Joe Root resigned from the English cricket, they had, like, no managing director, they had no coach, they had no captain. It's a shambles, to say the least, in terms of English cricket.
And the CEO didn't have any tenure left, I suppose. Yeah. I think so. You can imagine.
So it'll be interesting to see who they go for the next captain. Possibly, I mean, I know Ben Stokes is the one that's being talked about, but it'll be the all-rounders in English, as English captain, haven't done quite well, you know, if you go by Botham and Flintoff. Look at the other side, you know, from Maverick cricketers like KP as well, not quite there, so it'd be interesting to see how Ben Stokes performs, but hopefully we will see who takes the field as captain against New Zealand at the beginning of June, is it, you know, the next test.
Yep, indeed.
What did you make of Rob Key's appointment as the managing director?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think he, gathering by his, it was coming. I think when he was going to, there was press reports that he had applied for the job. I don't think there was no information about who others were as well on that race. So it was inevitable almost. I think he has got a good backing, good support from the players. What would be interesting from our perspective, from LO's and Blues podcast standpoint, if you look at Indian cricket and IPL, I think his appointment with respect to as an MD and then whoever he chooses as coach and the captain is going to have a huge bearing on how they look at IPL. I think that's one of those things that I'm kind of quite keen as to how, what is his take. From the you know, commentary stand, you gather the message that Rob Key is quite keen on replicating an IPL kind of success in UK. He's quite passionate about cricket, and rightfully so. He has to look at his interests, but how it will have a bearing on which players play in IPL is going to be a big, big thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I think he's definitely made it clear that, you know, unlike previously, when must have been a couple of years ago now, where a few players stayed back in the IPL and missed the tests against New Zealand, he said that's probably not going to happen, where the English cricket will be the priority over IPL or any other 2020 league. So yeah, there'll probably be a bearing on that. Staying with, you know, English cricket, you know, in terms and our interest in kind of Indian cricket. Cheteshwar Pujara scored a 200. You know, he started playing for Sussex in his first game.
Yeah.
This season, you know, against Kent. When he didn't score much in the first run, first innings, and, you know, Derby actually, I don't know why I said Kent, but it was actually Sussex versus Derby. Derby, I think, scored like a mammoth 500 plus, and Sussex in the first innings didn't even avoid the follow on, and Viras to like follow on, and then Tom Haynes and Pujara, like, you know, got together, and both of them scored actually double 100. I think it's almost after 50 innings that Pujara scored a century across formats in abate tests or his contestants in over the last couple of years, etc., and things like that. It's a good omen for India to see, like, Chetheshwar Pujara getting into the runs, especially in England, given that considering that the next Test match is actually going to be against England. But I don't know whether that will be enough to see him make his way back into the team. We'll have to
Yeah,
wait and see.
I think that he will have one last go. Let's see, because his performance so early in the season, but in England, especially swinging conditions, I think it must not have been easy. So I think that will it's double century as well. It's not a century, it's double century. So that's going to definitely matter.
Yeah, and it was double hundred, and actually, trying to save the well, because they were following on and saying, scoring a double hundred is something special. But yeah, if he keeps up the form like this and scores some more runs over here in the next couple of months,
Yeah.
I think it'll be hard to overlook him. But equally, you think Shreyas Iyer and Co, who took his place in the last test,
Yeah.
will deserve another opportunity to score
I think
overseas.
yeah, I think he's playing here, whereas Shreyas Iyer is scoring centuries or having a good run in the KKR camp. So I think it's all down to the coaching team, coaching captain, sorry, the
Yeah,
coach
and
and the
that would be interesting, isn't it? Because the
captain.
last time
Yes.
it used well, for the when India came over to England, last year, Kohli was the captain, and it's Rohit Sharma who's the captain now.
Yes.
So it'll be an interesting dynamics in terms of team
Exactly.
selection, etc. This will be his first team selection for an overseas. So whether he will want Chetheshwar Pujara to come back in and solidify that number three position, or considering Shubman Gill's batting right now in the IPL, his form. So there are plenty of options. Anyway, that's for another day, later in the summer for us to debate. Let's move on, talking about, in terms of news as well, just before we actually get into the matches and have a look at the table, etc. News just coming out this morning that there were three members of the Delhi Capitals
Yeah.
who've been, or at least three positive cases in terms of COVID. So COVID seems to have come back into the IPL. I wonder what's, more than, I mean, if it gets limited just to Delhi, then and I think one was Patrick Fahad, the physiotherapist, and then a couple of other people who tested positive. One is a player, and I didn't read, in terms of, at least when I read it this morning, I didn't know who was the player, and another support staff.
Yeah, I think Mitchell Marsh, physio Farhad. I think what we need to see is how whether it's going to be contained within the bubble, or is it going to be having a widespread. They will have to go back and see what match and who were in contact and so on and so forth. But there are a lot of those aspects. We will have to wait and see. Usually, with an exposure, it takes about 3 to 4 days for the symptoms to show up. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's the thing. Fingers crossed, it just doesn't spread, and this is probably the end of it, and the tournament goes ahead successfully. Let's hope. So, talking about the IPL then, let's move on, and before we look at the matches from last week, let's just have a quick look at the table. This is actually pretty up to date now in terms of after the game between KKR and Rajasthan Royals that's just concluded, with the Royals winning a very close game. The two new teams, the Titans and the Giants, are up there in first and third position. Gujarat Titans especially, have won five out of six games. I wouldn't say it's a surprise in terms of, to look at that, both the Titans and the Super Giants being up there. They we certainly said, they did and bought well in the auction.
Yeah, we did.
So that's good to see the two new teams up there. The other teams, I think last week when we looked up at it, pretty much there was about five or six teams on 6 points, and it was like, very, very close, and games between the teams at the bottom and the top would have an impact on the top teams. But now with GT sitting right at the top, on their own at 10, and then there's about one, two, three, four teams: the Royals, the Super Giants, Royal Challengers Bangalore, and Sunrisers Hyderabad, which who we must talk about, specifically Sunrisers Hyderabad, given after what we said in the first, looking after them at the first couple of games. We'll
And
definitely
even in
have,
the auction, we did say that they're
exactly,
going to
based
be.
on the auction. So yeah, I mean, they've done exceedingly. They've like silently, quietly come, and they're sitting just outside the top four now, and purely based on the run rate. And that was the big loss in the first game, is probably hurting their run rate.
Nobody expected that. Yeah, I think just to talk about, Sunrisers pulling up this week, as in the last week since our last podcast, has been really brilliant. They have managed themselves, but it's also partly due to Chennai and Mumbai losing so many games. And yeah, I think there will be some fight from the Mumbai Indians and Chennai Super Kings.
Let's on that kind of note, and have a look at the games CSK played. Let's maybe pick the CSK versus RCB game first before we look at CSK versus GT yesterday. That was probably the highlight of the week for Chennai fans. The rivalry between RCB and CSK is well established, so it was a match definitely worth looking forward to. And in all accounts, the match didn't fail to live up to the expectation. It was what I would call the Shivam Dubey and Robin Utthappa show.
We've spoken about, we are big fans here, in terms of how he cleaned. My only thing was he couldn't get a century. He was really on course. He couldn't. That would have been the icing on the cake. But Utthappa, again, you can't take away anything from him. He set up the innings very well. Prithviraj Gaikwad, again, fell short. But then Utthappa and Dubey, really. One thing that concerns is Moin's form as well. I think he's at number three, not been that successful for us in the last couple of games, but I'm sure he's going to be back. Pretty much most of the dismissals in my this thing, whenever I watch him, is playing wide outside Rostam and inside edging one. So I think that's Moin, but Utthappa and Shivam Dubey, you can't take anything. 216, I thought, was really out of reach for RCB. I thought they would do about 180 something, but they did give us a scare. so it was not a clear dominating win. They've managed to reduce the run rate gap. I think that's what is the strategy that most of the teams are now going for. They're not able to get to the score, losing wickets in a hurry, making sure that they take the game close.
Yeah, that's true. You just kind of briefly mentioned about Dubey. His some of the shots. I think I said to you this, and we mentioned this in one of the episodes earlier in the podcast about how much he looks like, a Yuvraj clone. And again, some of the shots that hits, boy, they were like, so clean his hits are and how far he hits them. There was Hazelwood bowled an attempted Yorker, and he missed by this tiny bit, and Dubey just picked him like, as if that left-hander languidness, and just deposited him for 102.6 meters. So yeah, he's 28. Let's see where his opportunities take for him, whether if he keeps going like this, whether he gets. One thing for sure is if people who are performing in the IPL at the minute keep their form, we will have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the selection for the World Cup later this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's true, especially with Dinesh Karthik as well coming into big picture. In this game, I thought if he was around, he could have won RCV the game. Good thing he got out. And it was Bravo who pulled the wide one. I think he went for the pull and got caught. Otherwise, any other bowler might have succumbed to that.
Yeah, I mean, Dinesh Karthik is someone we should definitely mention, in terms of his form at the minute is something special. Every game, it's not it's not just the fact that, Dinesh Karthik is coming in and doing this odd game. He is so consistent, and this particular game, obviously, he came to bat. I think it was number 8, might have been number 7 or 8 low is where he came into bat. And coming down at that point to score, still like 34 or 14, he's been so very consistent in not just like the scoring runs, but scoring them at such a quick pace. It's almost like, it's been a resurgence of Dinesh Karthik, who'd been gone missing. Having said all that, he would definitely not be in kind of my pick for, he's 36. I don't think I'd go back and pick Dinesh Karthik into the T20 World Cup for all his, however good he does. And I know he says, oh, I'm just trying to get back into the India team, but at 36, possibly he will be 37 by the time the World Cup actually happens in Australia. I'm not sure he would get picked in the squad. Never mind the 11. Rohit Sharma, the captain, might think different.
If you have Ishan Kishan, punt, and then comes, so if you're looking at a keeper batsman,
And then
I
Sanju
think,
Samson.
Sanju Samson, I don't think Sanju Samson is going to be in the plans
No, he
because.
may not, but Sanju, if you were to pick up like, a third sort of thing, Sanju Samson would probably go higher up the order than thing. And even worst case scenario, Rahul can keep.
As a backup, yes,
Yeah,
Rahul can
so
certainly keep. He has kept. Let's see. If he continues to do this kind of this, there's a long series. Srini, I don't want to put the markers on Dinesh Karthik, but if he does continue the long run, that surely is going to count something towards the selection because you have been there, done that day in and day out. So that recency, although you can call it recency bias, but you need to go by the form the players are in, the conditions that are going to be there. In one thing that can work into disadvantage for Dinesh Karthik is he's a right-hander batsman. The other two are lefties. So there are lots of things to consider. You know how difficult it is going to be. It's a good headache to have. You have spoiled for choices, as you said.
The other CSK match versus the league leaders at the minute, or the table toppers, Gujarat Titans. This is definitely a low light this week for CSK fans. The surprise when, literally at the start was the fact that Hardik Pandya didn't play, after his heroics the previous game for the Gujarat Titans, where he scored an 87 unbeaten against Rajasthan Royals, which we'll talk in a bit. That was a surprise that he wasn't playing, and they brought in Saha in place of Hardik Pandya and Rashid Khan captain. Definitely, I thought that would give the edge to CSK at the beginning, and then it was a good start. I mean, Ruthraj Gaikwad coming into form, scoring 73. Finally, he came back into form, and Moeen Ali still, again, him struggling. As you said, there's a good partnership between Gaikwad and Nambatti Raidu. It was the last 5 overs they scored 45 or something to that effect. I think was how CSK scored, and that's where was lost in the in sense. I mean, we'll talk about David Miller's innings, in probably in a bit. But for me, I thought like that's probably where they lost quite a bit of runs. I think at the end of 15 overs, they were about 125, and then from there on to just in the last 5 overs to go and get, what was that, just something like 40, 44 runs. In this day and time, where in the last 5 overs, you're probably expecting teams to get 70 and 80. To get 44 with plenty of wickets in hand, you know, at that point as well, they had like something like six, 7 wickets in hand. They had 7 wickets in hand, and then with 7 wickets in hand, just to get 45, I think it's criminal. That's probably where the
Yeah.
first thing, the game was lost in the first place.
Yes, that's right. I mean, Uthappa struggled 10 balls, 3 runs is not going to win you any games. Moeen Ali, can't blame him. He was just in for 3 deliveries. If you look at Shivam Dubey's struggle as well, so if you combine Uthappa, Moeen, and Shivam Dubey, you're talking about 5 overs for really 20 runs. That's really killed the game. Yeah, if it was not for the 2 or 3 sixes, 2 sixes from Jadeja, that we would have really struggled even to get to 170. We should be, I thought when we all as a group watched the game yesterday, we were talking that it was 190 plus wicket. It should be definitely 190 plus. That would have really put the game out of reach of Gujarat Titans. 170 is still, you sense that they were believing, yeah, we could get it. Even without no Hardik Pandya.
Even Ruturaj Gaikwad, I think at half-time mark said that he felt they were 20 runs short or 20 runs light. Having said all of that, you know, the bowling was excellent. Getting those first 3 wickets in the power play, Mahesh Dixon and Mukesh, etc. They really did manage to pull back, and at about the 17th over, I think it was, you know, ESPN cricket first forecaster, they had like CSK as like 90% plus favorites, and Titans as under 10%.
I mean, yes, I mean, if you have 16 for 3 chasing 170, most likely than not the team is going to lose. First wicket, 1 over, 1 run, I think Shubham Gill got out, and then the next over immediately Vijay Shankar. I think he might be in for a replacement. Let's see how he has suffered a poor form as well. Abhinav Manohar, who I thought had shown some promise, he also got out. I thought at the end of 10th over or 11th over, like it was Chennai's game anyways, even up until 15th. But then there was one key moment I want to point out, Srini, which was the drop. I wouldn't say drop, but lack of effort from Shivam Dubey on Miller. He just ran in from the boundary. He just stopped short of, going for the catch, and you could see Jadeja was so furious, and I think even Dhoni was a little bit upset, but Jadeja was more emotional at that point in time. I told people around, yeah, I think that match is now gone, and that prophecy came true, unfortunately. But yeah, you get those key moments. You can sense sometimes that, yeah, that's what is going to lose us the game. But
I mean,
yes.
interestingly enough, it was that over that, you know, I was going to talk about where Bravo actually only went for 4 runs. In that was the 16th over. Bravo went for 4 runs, you know, and that lack of attempt, you know, I know Shivam Dubey probably kind of said, well, he
Let
seemed
it
to
to the
suggest that, like,
boundary.
you know, that the light, the white ball, he lost the light instead. But then it was at the end of that over, and then the following over on the over number 18, say when Chris Jordan bowled, and suddenly, like, you know,
Poor
Rashid
Chris
Khan
Jordan.
decided to, like, you know, take him to berserk. I mean, the contrast you could see from, you know, between those two overs actually was the Bravo was just bowling like no slower ball. There was no pace. Miller, who at that point was almost in his 70s, was struggling to hit. I think Miller was on 77, I think, at that point, and was struggling to get Bravo off the square, you know, with his slower balls. And then comes Jordan and bowls pace to Rashid, and then Rashid just took him downtown, like, in a 20.
Oh, Rashid was belligerent yesterday. I mean, some of the shots were like, you can't set fields for that. The one I clearly remember, deep point, over deep point, he hit a six of Chris Jordan. That was just ridiculous shot. you get to see that those are played by, I wouldn't say tailenders, but people who don't have that kind of opening kind of technique. But that was just brilliant batting. His innings almost gave the momentum, and David Miller, I think, took a back seat, said, if I'm there, I'm going to win the game. You could see that
I mean, You
They were not.
needed they needed 48 of 3 at that point, and to then go and get 25 in that over, that was game over.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, there was like Bravo getting 2 wickets back to back in the following over. It made it look like, oh yeah, this game is going close. But I think that was the over where, even with Rashid Khan out and
Yeah.
Alzari Joseph going, I don't think it was going to make that big a difference. Two dot balls actually, that 20th over, he was so confident, Miller, that he had two dot balls, and then he got a no ball of the third ball,
Yeah, I
and a
think
free
no
hit.
ball
So
cost as well. I think even without that, even before that no ball, it was almost over, but that sealed the deal. But yeah, I think that game was interesting. It was one that shows winning is a habit. I think Chennai, if they in any other season, would have easily sealed the deal, closed the game out much sooner. But for Gujarat Titans, because they've been winning all these games, they're table toppers. You can see that they still carry that belief.
The absolutely the confidence kind of just comes through.
What do you think? Just to touch upon this game and chances of Chennai going through to playoffs. There any chances now to in the Chennai finishing? I mean, there is still a lot of tournament to be played, a lot of games to be played. Change of guard. I don't think Chris Jordan will get another game. So I would just want to see who you think would be coming into the system, into the team. Is it Mitchell Santner? Is it Dwayne Pretorius? Or would they try somebody lower order hitting like Rajvardhan Hunger
No,
Kakunu?
it should be Pretorius. I mean, I just don't understand, why Pretorius is sitting out. I've no idea. Just now the muddled thinking. Pretorius should have been in the 11 the last two games. The RCB game as well as this one. For the life, this will do it for Chris Jordan. They will be forced to make a change and bring in Pretorius. Bringing another spinner, I just don't see another left arm spinner with Jadeja there. Three spinners already, Jadeja, Tikshna, and Moeen Ali. And Moeen Ali is not even bowling a lot. He's barely bowling 1-2 overs in most games. So he's really not. His role hasn't seemed to be defined as a bowling all rounder. It's more almost a batsman. Up there. I like for a replacement. Pretorius can bat. Bat better than Jordan, I think. And he can definitely bowl as well. I would definitely go for Pretorius over Jordan. That's definitely the one change. I don't see the other change to make. Mukesh seems to have done well, in his limited, in terms of more. Going back to the original question, can CSK make it to the playoffs? As a diehard CSK fan, I would like to say yes, but I think, being pragmatic, I just can't think. Now, for me, this goes back to the same point I made, in previous ones, because of the 10 teams. Just looking at the table, we touched about the table a few minutes ago. There's one team, Gujarat Titans, sitting on top there with 10, and then there are Rajasthan, Lucknow Super Giants, RCB, SRH, four teams on 8. Then you've got KKR and Punjab on 6. So which means you've got to forget Gujarat, because that's an 8-point difference. If you pick up the other seven teams, Rajasthan, Lucknow, Bangalore, SRH, KKR, and Punjab, six teams. CSK have got to push at least, what are we talking? So one plus one, two, another two. So you've got to push four out of these six teams. They'll have to leapfrog at least four out of these six teams to find a place. So which means, it's not just in their hand. They will need lots
Then
of
they
help
will, yeah.
from lots of other teams and the way to go.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. You need Delhi Capitals, Mumbai Indians also to start winning and to, yeah. So it's not only
So
enough if you
you
win.
need those two teams to start winning, and then you think, the teams above them as well, to beat. And with the fact that, this is not everybody playing each other, but there's that complexity of you play some other teams only once and some in your group too. So it's a bit of I haven't actually sat down and looked at it and how which teams from which groups are where kind of thing, you know. So if you look at it that way and see who's played whom twice, who's got to play once, and all of those equations, it's probably not going to be easy to make the playoff. And if I don't know at what point, probably CSK don't want to, like, you know, mathematically, yes, it is possible. Now there's still 8 games, so they can score, they can get 16 points out of the remaining 8 ones. And if they do actually go on to win the 8 and get 16 points, sure, you know, with 18 points, you would think in most seasons, 18 points will get you close to finish to the top four. But it's a big ask. It's not impossible, but I think it's improbable. It's very, very unlikely for it to happen. So I don't know at what point they decide, like, you know, yeah, this is not going to happen, and decide to give
Give big
opportunities.
chance.
Yeah, so
I'm
we'll
really
see.
looking forward. I think we can't lose hope. I think even Mumbai Indians, if you looked at their game, Rohit Sharma said it's time to start winning. I think there will be some really, and Delhi's COVID situation also is going to play a huge
Yeah.
part in this. Let's hope that Chennai, kind of keeps the winning momentum going. And then yesterday's game was just an aberration in their march. But you really, as I said, Delhi and Mumbai also need to start winning for
So,
us to get to the top.
yeah, but I mean, the other side of it is, like, you know, Gujarat, Rajasthan, Lucknow, and Bangalore, they seem to be, like, you know, doing really well. It seems difficult, like, you know, where they're going to drop points, those teams. So let's kind of, you know, talk about just moving on from CSK. Anyway, yeah, just to roll it up, we will see where CSK goes. We should probably talk about Gujarat Titans, you know, the league leaders, just talk, carrying on from, you know, having discussed CSK and GT. So the other match Gujarat played this week was against Rajasthan Royals. This was Hardik Pandya's game, you know, everywhere in terms of, you know, all the way through, it was Hardik Pandya, his batting. It, I think captaincy has definitely done wonders for him. It's complete contrast from Jadeja, if you like. He seems to have taken on to captaincy by performing both with bat and ball, and in the field. All of that, you know, bodes well for India, you know, in terms of the Indian T20 team. And hopefully, like, you know, if he can stay fit and continue to bowl, an excellent outcome from this IPL, both for Hardik Pandya and for India.
Yeah, I think that bodes well. Again, Gujarat Titans 87, Abhinav Manohar, I think he played a really decent innings as well. He played the part. Miller again in that game had 31 not out, if I'm not wrong, 14 balls. So it's a crucial innings as well. I think Miller's form has been really good. Jos Buttler started off when I saw Rajasthan Royals was on course, but then they started losing those openers. What do you think about Ashwin at number three? You wouldn't expect, is that like they're thinking about Sunil Narayan, I think.
It seems like, you know, I mean, I said this to you when the previous game it was, Ashwin retired out, and Ryan Parakh came in, and it didn't make a difference. I said, they're probably just making this too much more complicated. But then it looks like, again, this looks like another one of those things. You know, in one game, you think, well, he really can't get runs, so let's retire, get him retired out. And then suddenly the next game, you send him out at number three. If you look at it from the outside, that they're just randomly making these things up. But they probably are, you know, sort of experimenting and seeing how we can do something different, or, you know, throwing a slight curveball to the opposition, you know, to see how the opposition react and things like that. And these are things, like, you know, when they come off, you think, wow, that's a master stroke. When they don't come off, they always look foolish. I don't see him as either a pinch hitter or, you know, kind of, you know,
Yeah,
number
that's
three,
the
neither of
thing.
them, because that it just didn't seem like, you know, they were planning on whether to send him in as a, what was the idea there? Was it a pinch hitter, or was it, like, you know, someone to, like, stay in there and play the long game? But either way, it just didn't seem to have come off. It'd be interesting to actually watch that thread closely over the next few games, in terms of what Rajasthan Royals do, and, you know, how they take that in future games. probably they didn't do any changes today simply because Butler got on and scored that 100. Sanju Samson, they just went normally today. Actually, KKR did something similar today in terms of by sending out Sunil Narine. I know Sunil Narine's obviously done this a few times. That just looking at Sunil Narine, it sort of reminded me something, which I was going to mention to you when you texted the other day after your first ball to say well, at least you're lucky that you managed to get one ball. Like you were not out. The only way it can get worse is by being run out without facing a ball, which Sunil Narine actually managed to get today. Run out, Aaron Finch coming back into the team, running Sunil Narine out before he even.
It is hilarious, isn't it? When the best thing, you feel that you're done for the if you get out the first balls that you take season, and then you see Sunil Narine. He's a good opener in the sense, he can throw, he can put back a ball and he's
He'll
going to
score or he will get out. He's not going to waste.
Exactly.
He's hit some, things, but yeah, the Diamond Duck's a funny one, worse than the Golden Duck, where.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
yeah, unlucky for him. So again, that you look at that and think, well, that didn't really work. I don't know why they wasted Sunil Narine sort of thing, but it's just KKR decided to try and throw a curveball to Rajasthan Royals, who seem to be playing the tactical game at the minute. So it's an
Yeah,
interesting one.
I think both Ashwin's, promotion is to say, if you knew Kaz as a bowling team have a plan as to who's going to bowl, and then suddenly you introduce a variable so that their bowling plan gets upset, would they have bowled Rashid Khan then or delayed? I think those are some of those aspects that kind of
Yeah, it's there's this big thing that keeps getting mentioned all the time. You heard the buzzword about matchups. Everybody's trying to talk about matchups. They go to the extent of which left-hander to bowl, or a right-hander to bowl, an off-spinner not bowling, a leg-spinner, and so on and so forth. This is just one of those things where they're trying to throw curveballs to the RCB game against Chennai as well. They didn't bring in Manindu Hasrangha till almost 12 overs because again it's one of those matchup things where they think Uthappa bats against well against left-hander or because it's Shivam Dubey batting a left-hander batting so therefore they don't want to bring in a leg spinner etc. It's things like those and these are things where it's like the opposition throwing a curveball to say right let's see you bring on a ball this batsman early and so therefore you have to bowl the other bowler and give some of your other batsman a chance. So it's interesting in a way. We should probably keep an eye out of to see these kind of tactical battles where data is probably taking over and they're making those decisions beforehand.
Yeah, I think you're right. I
So
think this is also to do with some of those things as you mentioned, data. I heard somebody say there are these key moments in the game, like matchups. With the, if you say, for example, if Chennai don't score more than 40 runs in the power play or something like that, then you have a better chance of winning. And then there is a statistical correlation, I should say, between these data points. And I think teams are also playing to that. I see that these tactics also can be a part of that kind of play.
yeah. Anyway, moving on to the other game, Butler, he is in phenomenal form. There was a 50 against the Gujarat Titans, and then today 100 against
Century.
his second 100. In fact, that game against Gujarat Titans, literally, Hardik Pandya got the orange cap mid break, and it even before the first three balls were over, Butler had taken back the orange cap. That's how the race was, and now I think he's. Well, with this 100, he's probably got the orange cap for himself for a
Yeah,
while.
last game you could see he was keeping track of the stat as well. There was a game moment in the game he took off the orange cap as soon as Pandya surpassed him, and then he got back eventually. He
So
also.
that's good. Talking about centuries, the other century in last week's game was for Rahul, Lucknow Super Giants,
Oh,
is
brilliant.
brilliant, classy, 100, beating Mumbai Indians. All the two games that Mumbai Indians played last week, this was one of the ones. The other ones was against the Punjab Kings. But yeah, Lucknow Super Giants, that 100, taking them to almost near 200. Rahul was kind of, the pre I think that it was on the previous match, Trent Bolt actually, of former Mumbai Indian, came round the wicket and bowled. Again, that was a tactical battle, and bowled him out for duck. And so from there to come back and score 100 against MI, he must have been thinking, well, I'm glad Bolt is not playing for MI anymore, and so I'll make hay while the sun shines. MI, we should definitely talk about Rahul's 100, but it just looks like MI is bowling. It's We mentioned this last week around how all of their big stars are not firing.
I think it's about how I see is whether it was Ishan Kishan against Quinton de Kock, right? And I think if you really look at it, Quinton de Kock has paid some dividends and Ishan Kishan has not. I think that's where I think the matchup, if you will, of the players, number of players they lost and how crucial they were for the team success. I think it starts to matter. Like if you ha added Hardik Pandya and Quinton de Kock to the existing mix, you have a really solid team. And without them, it's like suddenly you're looking at Tilak Verma, Pollard, some bit of Surya Kumar Yadav. There was
Yeah,
previous.
he's probably been the only bright spot in Surya Kumar Yadav after his injury and his comeback. He's been consistently scoring. He's been the one who's like almost sort of almost pulling them through to some sort of respectable
Respectable.
scores. Tilak Verma, you mentioned Tilak Verma's definitely been another one. He's been a find of the tournament. I mean, we again another something that we mentioned last week was how this season has been about uncapped Indians. There's so many of them. In terms of both from a batting and a bowling perspective, that just
Definitely, I think, from yes, even for other countries, I would say South Africa is they're definitely going to look at Deval Provis. So it's not only for India, but also for other countries, especially South Africa, in my opinion, because there are some key players. But yeah, from Mumbai Indians, just going back to that game, they were on course. They didn't lose by a big margin. They were quite thereabouts, and 181 chasing 200. I don't think it's a big difference if you ask me. It's just a question of belief. Again, going back to that, what Chennai and what Mumbai Indians, they've got, they are on a losing streak, so they find ways to lose rather than ways to win. Again, Rohit Sharma failing is a big thing that's hurting them.
Yeah, I just quickly, just thinking about this Rahul 100, it just made me realize, if you look about sort of the Indian captains, the two that are really not performing are Jadeja, Rishabh Pant, and Rohit Sharma, and those are the three teams that are at the bottom of the table. And everybody else in terms of Shreyas Iyer, Hardik Pandya, Rahul, they've all Sanju Samson's kind of been a bit of hit and miss, but Rajasthan are still up there. The other three, Mayank as well, I think has done so. Punjab's probably there. It's interesting to see how the captains are leading from the front, the Indian captains, and those teams are actually staying right up there. So moving from there to I don't we could spend a bit of time on the other Mumbai match, MI versus Punjab. Again, Dhawan came to the party for Punjab, Dhawan, and I just mentioned Mayank Agarwal. That was the game where Mayank scored another half century. So Odian Smith 4-4, after his last game, the last time Odian Smith against the Royals, wasn't it again? So from no, it's the GT Tewatia took Odian Smith, to the last two balls. This game, he bowled, I think, for 4 for 30 for the Punjab Kings, and Rabada just getting in there. It was a close game. Teams, you can see now slowly, batsmen actually scoring a lot of runs, batting first as well, and the teams chasing aren't quite the balance which we saw like right at the beginning of the tournament, where like if you win the toss and the due factor, now it's slightly beginning to change where teams batting first are able to post a total and then restrict the team batting second. So that's kind of slowly beginning to shape as well. And you can see it's just not a batsman's game, but pace bowlers are coming in, leg spinners are doing in. As I guess as the tournament progresses, the pitch gets tired and all of those things. You can see all of the equations coming in.
Yeah, I think it is clear now that the tournament at the start, if you go back the first week, I think everybody batted second, and and I think now it is changing, tilting. It's not that easy. The conditions are staying even as the summer comes through. But one thing, yeah, the wickets will get tired. There's going to be a lot of familiarity. People will get to play, know the conditions a lot better now. And I don't know if heat is going to be of any impact as the tournament progresses, coming into last week of April's third week of April,
Yeah,
so first June.
hopefully, maybe for the weekend double headers. But even then, they're kind of a late starts, isn't it? So it's the 3 p.m. start games might have an impact, but the 7:30 p.m. game should be okay. The other game Punjab played this week was against SRH. We did mention this earlier, so we'll probably talk about SRH in a minute and look at their two games. But yeah. The other game for Punjab, Livingston, he's been scoring another 60 against SRH.
Livingston is a good player. One thing, there was some doubts when he was starting to play in the 100. I happened to see a game live in Birmingham, and he was like really in a belligerent mood. I was thinking, well, if he would be picked on the basis to the IPL, that was point number one. Second, whether he could play in India. And he's answered those questions really beautifully.
It's definitely done. So that they, I mean, obviously Punjab lost that game to Sunrisers. They just managed to, on the back of Livingston's 60, they managed to get 151. This kind of shows why Punjab are again like right there with DC, and because they seem to fluctuate between one game to another in terms of what they score. The consistency is not there in terms of everybody. We saw Dhawan and Agarwal doing in one game, Livingston doing another game, and so but they're managing to eke out scores. But the thing that I wanted to pick up from that game was Umrah Malik is definitely being taken notice of in terms of the raw pace. I know you said for example, well, he's got raw pace, but it's just probably not got his radar right. This particular game against Punjab versus Sunrisers Hyderabad, he picked up a 4-4, so probably his first 4-4. We said in at the auction, post the auction, the couple of games that Sunrisers bought, the players that they had retained, we just couldn't get our head around, apart from Millions, and the two players that they retained was Abdul Samad, who was dropped after two games, the player they'd retained, but then he's been dropped and he's not playing. And Umrah Malik was the other one. And Umrah Malik definitely seems to be paying dividends in terms of them retaining him with his pace and etc. Bhuvneshwar Kumar and Natarajan also sort of, deeply, Natarajan's slowly coming back into the form. So there seems to be with SRH, Natarajan, I think, contributed in the other game against KKR, and from a bowling perspective, then Markram contributed in both games, and Tripathi Pooran, and they seem to be performing as a complete team. There's what we would call boring cricket, test cricket, whatever you want to call it, the way SRH play. But I guess they would turn back and tell, well, as long as they're winning,
It
it's not
doesn't
about
matter
just.
really, isn't it? I mean, once they know what they have to get, I think even without Kane Williamson firing in that game, everybody got about 30, 40 runs, and that's what won. And that's really good because it's not one player firing and hitting those big scores. They are actually shaping up to be a good team. It's one thing. They still have a very weak middle order, I should say. I don't know, in that game especially, I haven't seen anything about Shashank Singh, Jagdish, Sucheth, and then the bowlers. I know for sure Natarajan can't bat. Marco Jansen, Umrah Malik. if the first 2 3 wickets fell quickly, I don't think SRH have got anything in their bag. But having said that, Kane Williamson is like the.
He, even if he doesn't kind of, perform, he gets stuff out of his team, and they are doing it like, Tripathi and Markram Pooran. Again, he's not been the most successful. Him definitely sort of, is another one that's coming. So yeah, SRH, I'm slowly starting to think that they might end up being the dark horses and, sort of squeezing into the top four. The last two teams, the last game, let's have a look about, was RCB versus DC. And I was going to actually ask you in terms of, the table as it stands. As I said, the Titans, the Royals, Lucknow Super Giants, RCB are the top four. Sunrisers, KKR and Punjab, the other three teams, sort of there, so the seven. Who would you pick from those seven end up in the top four?
You're talking about I would say RCB, because I do feel that they have that they are playing together, and if Virat Kohli, fingers crossed, fires, that team would be really dangerous. I'm caught between Lucknow Super Giants and Sunrisers, because Sunrisers, I still have doubts in terms of whether they would be able to hold this winning run for long. I think it's a marathon, not a sprint, this IPL tournament is. So we got to see how they react and who has the bench strength to carry out throughout the tournament. I think that's what it would come down to.
I think
For me, yeah, go ahead.
so I
Sorry.
was going to say the team on the top four, that just picking on your point about the bench strength, the team on the top four, Gujarat, Rajasthan, Lucknow and Royal,
Yeah.
challenges Bangalore. I think they probably got a better squad
Yeah.
than the Sunrisers.
Yes, exactly. That's what if let's I'm not jinxing anything here, but if one of those fast bowlers pull up a muscle bowling in the heat, it's only 4 overs, but still things can happen. You're then suddenly scratching the barrel, whereas the other teams, they don't have that problem. They have more rounded attack. But yeah, balanced attack as well. Kolkata Knight Riders cannot be discounted. And so they are a team, definitely very much in the reckoning as well. As you said, Punjab has been hit and miss, inconsistent. You don't know which side turns up. To draw in a parallel in an international game, it's like watching Pakistan of the old. Suddenly you'll have them just bashing the top teams, and suddenly they will collapse in a heap for 60 all out. So I think that's what Punjab is at the moment, unfortunately. But let's see.
Yeah, I think Punjab, I said this at the very, very first, might have been the first week or the second week. The way they are going after is like, every batsman that comes in, seems to have that, Livingston, Bairstow, etc. It's that England mindset where they are like, every batsman is just going to go. You'll win some, you'll lose some, in the sense of, if
Yeah.
everybody clicks, they'll probably score 200 plus. If they fail, they'll probably end up being 140, 150 plus. So they, rather than finding a balance, they are probably edging. I mean, it's the Owen Morgan strategy where, like, let's just go after and put pressure on the bowlers. Chances are more likely the bowlers will wilt, and we will win more matches than we'll, if you go that way, you are
Yeah.
bound to lose some matches, so you never know. It's one last game for us to, like, look before we wrap this week's episode, is the RCB versus DC. It was, we touched at this right at the very beginning, about Dinesh Karthik. He was something out of the world, in that game, for an almost 37-year-old to come and score the way he did, 66 off 34 balls. That's what him and Shahbaz Ahmed did, another, one of those innings in this game. He just took the Delhi bowlers apart.
Definitely. I think he doesn't look, he looks like a 27-year-old,
Yeah, he definitely
in terms
looks
of the
fit.
energy levels as well, and running between the wickets. He's keeping as well, mind you. So a lot of work to do behind the stumps, and then come back and play those innings is just terrific. When you are successful and you're in winning mindset, everything goes right for you.
That kind of pretty much rounds up, this week. So yeah, it next week, some some interesting games to look forward to. Starting tomorrow, Lucknow Super Giants, or maybe when the time you hear this podcast, it might be the Lucknow Super Giants and Royal Challengers Bangalore game would have probably finished. The other games coming are Delhi and Punjab next week, and the big one, Mumbai and Chennai, the bottom two are going to play against each other on Thursday to see. So it'll be interesting if Mumbai get their first win against Chennai. I don't know whether they'll probably be in the same points in the group, or whether Chennai can beat Mumbai and make sure Mumbai lose 7 out of 7 and Chennai move up. So that'll be an interesting game to look forward to next week. The Royal Challengers Bangalore and Lucknow Super Giants will be a third versus fourth
Third versus fourth.
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's still something for everybody. I think all games are still interesting, in my opinion, at least for the next week and probably the week after. And then
Yeah,
you know the clear
probably.
difference. Then there will be those dead rubbers emerging out of the pile. I think some in a lot of ways, next 2 weeks are going to be interesting. Next week is going to give you a clearer indication, and we will be
Yeah.
there to cover, won't we? So that's it.
Some that this will be some interesting games to look forward to. Well, that wraps this week's podcast. So, if you like the sound of this, please subscribe to this podcast and follow the website Yellows and Blues. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Yellow and Blues. Do leave your reviews and ratings about the podcast on Spotify or any other platform from which you get your podcasts from. Until next week, this is your host Venkat and Shini signing out. Take care. Have a good week.
Thank you.